It's time for JT the Brick.
The Raider offseason is about content that is productive.
Shotgun to O'Connell. Backpedaling, lobbing to the end zone, trying to get at him. Makes the grab! Touchdown, Raiders!
I thought Aiden O'Connell played pretty well last year. He's a quarterback who's serviceable.
Now pressure. Gets out of there. Colby's got him from behind! Back at the 45-yard line!
There's no better player who plays with heart and passion and speed than Mad Max Crosby. Wait till you see him this upcoming season.
JT the Brick.
Dot to throw. Spillane on the blitz, and he wraps him up and holds him up for a sack.
I love the addition of Jack Jones. All the plays he made last year will be a great addition for this team moving forward.
Intercepted down the sideline. Intercepted Jack Jones, and he walks in. Touchdown.
And now.
Raiders!
All right, now we're good. Let's get to it.
Here's JT the Brick.
Out of the gate, JT today, ready to roll. The madness is here. March Madness is here. The unofficial home of the NCAA tournament is Las Vegas, as we are ready to open up the airport and everyone's coming. It'll be a big kickoff week as the madness is here. Obviously, Raiders free agency is still a big topic here, and probably after this week, after March Madness, and I'm going to do a lot of that because it's the biggest thing in sports, is March Madness. We're all over it. Wednesday, we'll be live from the Strat. Hosting the show in the sports book there. So if you're looking to kick off the vibe of March Madness, come on in on Wednesday. Friday, we'll be live for March Madness at La Casa over at Tivoli Village, La Casa Cigar Lounge. So two remotes this week. I'm out of the studio. I'm excited. All of our partners are here, and a lot of our partners are deeply invested in March Madness because the amount of business that Las Vegas brings in over this week, it's the first week. It's the first week of March Madness. It isn't the Final Four. It's what's happening Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, which packs out our casinos, our sports books, our steakhouses, our restaurants. Everybody's coming out here for this. If you're coming out, let us know, and hopefully we'll get a chance to meet you either Wednesday or Friday or somewhere over the weekend. All right, I got a lot to get to. It'd be nice if you match my energy today because I got a lot of energy. And there's one more topic. I want to clean up this topic here in the monologue and get your opinion on it. I think you're going to have an opinion on it. So start dialing at 702-365-9200 if you want to get in. If not, we appreciate the fact that you're just listening. Bill Krakenberger, America's favorite sports gambler, will join us next hour. Also, my conversation with the head coach of NC State from last night, as NC State went on the biggest five-game run you could ever dream of, and they're in the NCAA tournament. The rest of the show is you, and we'll hear what you have to say on this topic. Why did the Raiders not get Justin Fields for a six-round pick? That's the topic. I like Justin Fields a lot. I thought he'd be a good fit with the Raiders because the Raiders need a mobile quarterback. It's not a make-or-break issue. I'm not upset. I didn't think it would happen because Luke Getsy came here first, the former Chicago Bear offensive coordinator. So it didn't seem like Luke Getsy was going to leave Chicago and come to Las Vegas and bring Justin Fields with him. But the other thing was, why did the Raiders not kick the tires on someone for a six-round pick, which could turn out to be a fourth-round pick, conditional pick, because the price is pretty easy. Now, you got to absorb his contract, and he's going to want a long-term contract, but you could have the ability for 1 year to fit him in, find a way to do the deal, and then you got the quarterback. You got the quarterback in Justin Fields with an unlimited ceiling. Okay, that's a big term you hear around the draft and free agency. What's the ceiling of this player? I think Justin Fields has a pretty high ceiling. If you can figure him out and turn him into a better pocket passer, he's an elite runner, an elite athlete. Those are pretty important. An elite athlete who happens to be a superstar running quarterback is something the Raiders have not had remotely close to since Rich Gannon over 20-plus years ago. Think about that. Derek Carr was not an elite runner. Derek Carr was not a good runner. He wasn't an average runner. He could run a little bit to get outside the pocket, but you know, Derek's strength was not running the football. We had him here for 9 seasons. He was a really good player. So when everybody saw the alert come down that Pittsburgh traded, they traded for him for a six-round pick, I said, wait a second, there's got to be more to this six-round pick. No, there's really not more to it. The Chicago Bears went to the combine, and they tried to put together a couple of deals to move Justin Fields out of there because they're going to draft Caleb Williams, number one, and there were no takers. And I initially thought, and I was wrong, but it's not a big miss, I thought he would be going for a second round pick. But then after there were no takers about a week ago, I said on this show, well, you can probably get him for a third round pick. I never dreamed that it would be a six round pick to get a starting quarterback, a franchise quarterback. That's what he is. He was a franchise quarterback in Chicago. It didn't work well. But I don't think his career's over, just like I don't think Russell Wilson's career's over. And he's an elite player. So I don't know the answer to this question. I don't think it's a negative question. I think if Tom Telesco was sitting across from me and I asked the question, I think the answer would be they had no interest in Justin Fields. They had no interest. And they obviously didn't have any interest because if they gave up a fifth round pick, they could have got him. So the ship has sailed in regards to either Justin Fields or Russell Wilson. I also didn't want Russell Wilson. I just thought it was a good topic for this show and a good topic to have Denver, a team in our division, paying for everything and to get Russell Wilson for $1.2 million. And you, the Raider fans, didn't want him for some bizarre reason, like you didn't like his tuxedos, you didn't like how he wore his shirts with no collar. You know, Raider fans were telling me that he's not a Raider. And I was laughing at these people for saying, you don't know what the hell you're talking about. He's going to go to any team he wants to. Now he's a Steeler, a team that has won double the amount of Super Bowls as the Oakland, LA, Las Vegas Raiders. So I'm good with this. I told you, we had a Gardner Minshew on Friday. He was great. He was a lot of fun. That was a fun interview. And Aiden O'Connell's a good young quarterback in the quarterback room. But what would it look like if Justin Fields was in the quarterback room with Aiden O'Connell? And he was there with Gardner Minshew. Maybe the answer is they got their guy in Gardner Minshew, so they're not interested in anything else. So that's topic number one. Justin Fields, now we know what it costs to get him. How do you feel about that in the Raider Nation that the Raiders didn't get Justin Fields when he was clearly available? A matter of fact, I quoted Mia Kimes from ESPN. She went off on this topic, and she basically said the only place left for Justin Fields is the Raiders, because he can start with the Raiders. He's not going to start with Pittsburgh. Russell Wilson's too good for them to have a quarterback competition. It would be disgraceful by the Steelers to put out that we're going to have a competition. No, you don't have a competition with Russell Wilson, a future Hall of Famer. You let him start, and if he doesn't play well, didn't cost you any money, and then you go to Justin Fields, and you let him play, and you say goodbye to Russell Wilson. That's an easy plan for the Steelers. They got two great quarterbacks, potentially. One we know who's been great in Russell Wilson. The other one could be great in Justin Fields, maybe with the right coaching. But I think these are big Raider topics because I think it's showing what the Raiders want to do. The Raiders did not want to get into the free agent quarterback market, but they signed the second highest paid guy in Gardner Minshew. It went from Kirk Cousins, $180 million, $100 million guaranteed. Then it went down to Gardner Minshew and his deal and what he got. And then after Gardner Minshew, it was Sam Darnold, Jacoby Brissett. The list goes on and on. So the Raiders didn't dip their toe into the quarterback market. They actually dove in the pool and got Gardner Minshew because four other teams would have taken Gardner Minshew if the Raiders did not. So I'm good with this quarterback room. So part one of the topic is why not Justin Fields? I would have been thrilled if they got Justin Fields. Would have been thrilled. That would have been the show today. We got Justin Fields. We're going to park him. We're going to get him better coaches. We're going to teach him with Devontae how to be a better pocket passer. And we got him probably starting over Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell. They decided not to do that. I'm good with it. It's just my job to throw out the topic. The second part of the topic is there's a lot of talk now that the Minnesota Vikings with two first-round picks want to get up to number three. They want to get up to number three to trade their two first-round picks and go up. They're already ahead of the Raiders in the draft. They have a closer pick, and they're ahead of Denver. And now there's a lot of buzz. I was watching NFL Network this morning, and it was a good topic on what they're going to do, the Vikings, if they can get up to number three. That would be the New England pick, to either take who's ever left, Drake May at number two or Jaden Daniels. Now, we all know that everybody loves Jaden Daniels. Clip that and put it into a podcast. We all know that the Raiders, JT the Brick in the third person, and everybody likes Jaden Daniels. That's not a secret or a surprise. But in order to get him, you got to go from 13 to 3 or 2 to get him. And if the Raiders can't get to number 2 because the Washington Commanders are clearly not going to trade that pick, Then if Jaden Daniels is taking number two, there's really no shot to get him at three, right? He's going to be gone, and I don't know if Tom Telesco likes Drake May or not. But you're gonna find one of these quarterbacks going early. And I think you're going to see the Raiders, Denver, along with the Vikings looking to trade up and get Jaden Daniels. That's the way I see it. I'm pretty good at this. I've done 27 drafts in my career. I got my board up already, and we're going to build it over the next 5 weeks. And we're going to get ready for the draft here and take a look at it. But my single-minded focus in the draft is for the Raiders to trade up and get a quarterback or to stay at 13 and get a quarterback. Now, the second tier of those quarterbacks, I love J.J. McCarthy because he studied under Jim Harbaugh and he won a national championship. I like him a lot. Michael Penix Jr. and Bo Nix, I like both of them also. I think they're both good. I like Michael Penix as a thrower more than Bo Nix, but I think Bo Nix is kind of a physical, tougher guy. They've both been banged up and injured at times, but Bo Nix had a lot of starts in college football, and so did Michael Penix Jr. So I think those are two big topics. Why not Justin Fields? And now, who do you have that wants to get in front of the Raiders or pick a quarterback for the Raiders? Because that's what we got to get to here, everybody, in the next month. The lead content on our radio station, Raider Nation Radio, the flagship of the Raiders, is going to be, I don't get my hands in the other shows. I'm just telling you, Q and Vinny and both shows are going to be talking about the quarterback because everybody's talking about the quarterback and we need a quarterback. We don't have to get a quarterback with Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew, but I think most of us, 90% of Raider Nation, wants to go into this draft and get a quarterback for the future, a franchise quarterback, unless you think Aiden O'Connell is going to be that franchise quarterback. So that's where we're at, 702-365-9200. Vinny Bonsignor put out a great column that I'm going to reference today also on what it looks like for the Raiders' defense along the way after they got Christian Wilkins, and this defensive line looks pretty good. And I think the Raiders are in a really good spot now with the defensive line where they don't have to take a defensive interior lineman in the first round. If they do, well, then the defensive line is going to be insane if with the 13th pick they take one of the two defensive tackles who are great. But overall, as I'm taking a look at exactly what's happening here with the Raiders' depth, you know, they mostly played in a two-linebacker system last year with Divine Diablo and Robert Spillane. I think they should be in the market to get another linebacker. And cornerback seems to be a priority. Paul Gutierrez at ESPN, NFL free agency's off and running. He wrote a great piece here on the Las Vegas Raiders and what they need to do after Christian Wilkins, four-year, $110 million deal, 84.75 guaranteed. So that's going to help out Max Crosby a lot. It's going to help out Malcolm Kuntz a lot. And if you take a look at what they have going in here with, Adam Butler, John Jenkins, good to have him back. I think they got depth at that position. I think defensive tackle and Byron Young last year from Alabama, who for whatever reason in the third round didn't play much, I think the Raiders are good at defensive tackle and edge rusher. I do. I think you agree with that. Now, they're not good at cornerback, because cornerback, they got to find a way. Amik Robertson is gone. That's not the end of the world, but they got to find a way. They brought in Harrison Bryant at tight end. I think he'll be a good second-tier tight end there. Amir Abdullah was re-signed at running back. But I also want to know, as we kick off this week of March Madness, if you want to do some Raiders content here, what do you think the priority is other than quarterback? Because that's what I'm doing my homework on now, is to take a look at the corners. I don't like taking a cornerback high from Fabian Washington to Nnamdi Asamoah to all the other cornerbacks. Gerrion Conley, the worst of them all, the biggest worst of them all, Damon Arnett. It is really risky taking a corner in the first round, man. You can get one in the second and third round, or you can get them via free agency. And what's going to happen there? There are a few free agents available as we are tracking the latest free agents that are still out there. And it's pretty lean. You know, it was aggressive. The Raiders got Gardner Minshew and Christian Wilkins. So I think that's pretty good. If you want to get a free agent now, there's just a few left that are ranked high. And I don't think it's worth of the Raiders. I think what the Raiders just proved to everyone is they did some shopping. They definitely did some shopping overall, got a couple of good players, and now Tom Telesco and the Raiders will be all over the draft. And I don't think we can go too early on the draft. I could talk about it today, but it's going to build. It's going to build up some steam. along the way. And once the draft gets going, we're going to hear what happens with either draft trades or what the Raiders' real interest is going forward. And I think the Raiders are going to do pretty good in the draft because Tom Telesco has a plan in place. He's not telling everybody about it. He's not a big talker. He's not out there on podcasts. He's not out there all over like other GMs saying, this is what we want to do. No, Tom Telesco was brought in to do this the right way. And the way to do it the right way is to go out there and keep everything private. Don't tip your hand. And then the week of the draft, Tom Telesco is going to get on the phone with these other GMs. And he's going to try to get out there and move up or move back or stay there at number 13 where we know the Raiders are going to get a good pick. Are they going to get a good pick that can start? He better. If it's a defensive player, if it's a cornerback, or is it an offensive lineman? And I'd like to see the Raiders kind of come out of the draft at some point with an offensive lineman who can start. And that's hard to do around here. Colt Miller is an exceptional player, and the Raiders worked hard to get him in the first round. If the Raiders are going to go offensive lineman, which would be right tackle in the first round, there's a few of them there, maybe the Raiders don't trade up to get a quarterback because they're comfortable with Gardner Minshew, and they stay at 13 and they wait for the best available player. Best available player. And I think that has to happen either at cornerback, defensive tackle. I think we're good now. I don't think you want to take a linebacker that high. They got edge rushers. They got receivers. You know, Trey Tucker, Devontae, Jacoby Myers. I think we're pretty good there. But what about running back? Running back, you don't take a running back anymore in the first round. That's over. That'll never happen again, I think, in NFL history. They're not taking running backs in the first round. But the Raiders are going to have a visit this week, I believe, with a couple of running backs to figure out who's going to back up Zamir White. So no more backup Zamir White. No, Zamir White, the starter. And now Zamir needs a backup. And what direction will the Raiders go there? 702-365-9200. And again, for all the people that yell at me on Twitter, which is fun, the ones who yell at me behind my back on Twitter, get out your beer muscles if you want and call in on why the Raiders didn't get Justin Fields. Because you were all yelling at me to get Justin Fields or not get Russell Wilson. And we had an opportunity to get them both. There was a chance if they were interested, and they were not interested, but there was a chance that Russell Wilson and Justin Fields could have been brought into the Raiders quarterback room if Gardner Minshew wasn't. And I thought that would have been pretty good. But the Raiders didn't want to go in that direction. I don't think it was money. I just don't think it's the fit that Tom Telesco wants and Antonio Pierce wants. So we wish those other guys well. Kenny Pickett went to the Eagles. He's excited about that opportunity. We got Gardner Minshew. Minshew mania, man. I don't know if he's going to start, but he's going to be the talk of camp when we're doing the preseason games. And we're traveling with the Raiders in the preseason. Gardner Minshew is going to get a lot of looks and a lot of throws to see if he's going to be the starting quarterback of the silver and black. I'm good with both of those guys. They're good. They're not elite. It's not Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert. Deal with it. Okay? You want to get Jaden Daniels? Jaden Daniels out of LSU could be Patrick Mahomes or Justin Herbert. That's it. I don't see Michael Penix Jr. or Bo Nix becoming Justin Herbert or Patrick Mahomes. So I'd love to see Jaden Daniels in the building. Okay, I'd love to see him in the building and drafted here, but it's going to be super, super expensive along the way. I'll get into the brackets. Houston's a one seed. UConn is a one seed. North Carolina is a one. Purdue is a number one seed. My wife went to Illinois. Illinois won the Big Ten. So we're really happy around here. UNLV basketball goes to the NIT. They don't make the tournament. The Lady Rebels are in the tournament. So hopefully Lindy LaRocque, the coach, we can have her on again. We hope she wins. They got to win a couple of games here. And as the brackets are breaking down, if you see anything, any bracket that you like, I'm going to wait till about Wednesday to make my pick. I like Houston all year long. I thought they were the best team, and they laid an egg in their conference tournament. And in the last week, I've watched three UConn games to really get up to speed on UConn. And man, UConn is good. The only problem with UConn is they disappear for about 5 minutes early in the first half, and they got to really battle and struggle to find their rhythm here. But UConn leads the Eastern bracket. Houston is the leader in the South. In the Midwest, it's Purdue. And out West, North Carolina is the one seed. Long Beach State got in. They'll play Arizona in the first round. New Mexico from the Mountain West is in the tournament as an 11 seed. And St. Mary's lot of our listeners in the Bay Area, St. Mary's will open up against Grand Canyon. How about that? The 5 versus 12. I'm always looking for a 5-12 upset. The other five, there's always a 12 beating a 5. McNeese plays Gonzaga, a 12 versus a 5. James Madison takes on Wisconsin. That's a 12-5 game. And UAB takes on our friends from San Diego State. That's the monologue brought to you by PT's, the best happy hour in town. 5 to 7, midnight to 2. Golden Entertainment, proud partners of our show. Wednesday, 2 days from now, I'll be hosting this show from the Strat in their sports book as people are pouring into town for March Madness. Again, the big topic today is, why did the Raiders not get Justin Fields? What do you think the decision was behind that, considering the Raiders could get him for a 5th or 6th round pick? Would love your opinion on that. That's a big one for me today. John's in Salt Lake City, listening on the Raiders mobile app. Go ahead, John, start us off.
Hey, JT, how you doing today?
Doing well, thanks.
Good. I believe the reason they didn't go get Justin Fields, because I believe the Raiders think Gardner Minshew is a better quarterback than Justin Fields. Mm-hmm. I don't think people really give this guy enough credit, and I encourage everybody to go and Google Gardner Minshew highlights. JT, this guy can move. Mm-hmm. He can throw the ball on the run. He's accurate. He's tough. And I think the Raiders believe he could be the next Rich Gannon. It's the most excited I've been for this quarterback position probably since Rich Gannon. And this guy is only 27 years old. Mm-hmm. We're not talking about a 35-year-old guy here. We're talking about a guy that he's going to have every opportunity to go out and win that starting job, and he could be the Raiders franchise quarterback. JT, this guy is good, and I cannot believe he's not getting any respect. He's better than J.J. McCarthy. He's better than Bo Nix. And I would take him over Michael Penix, any of those guys. Okay. I think everybody needs to give this guy a shot and understand this guy is not a bum. This guy is a good player. And I have utmost confidence if he gets behind center this year and leads this team. I think the guy's got every bit of Rich Gannon in him, and I'm excited to see where it goes. But I would 10 times rather have him over Justin Fields. So I think the Raiders, they've had this plan all along, and that's why they went so aggressively after him in free agency. And they signed him quick. There was no hesitation. They had a plan, and I believe that's the plan, and I think they're going to go for this guy, and I don't see them, unless for some miracle reason they can get up to get Jaden Daniels, but I don't see it happen.
Okay.
This guy's going to be the starter.
Thank you. That was an outstanding phone call. That's exactly what I like to have. Don't need it. Want callers like that. That guy came in from Salt Lake City, Raider Nation diehard, and said, slow everything down. Gardner Minshew's the guy. That's what I need to hear from fans, because you're only getting my opinion. I don't got 4 co-hosts or 7 like some of these other shows. It's just me. So if you don't like my opinion, I understand why. I got strong opinions. I don't expect everybody to agree with them. That guy thinks Gardner Minshew's the guy. I like the comparison. I do to Rich Gannon. Rich was a journeyman. Rich came off an injury. Al Davis saw something in Rich Gannon. John Gruden and Rich Gannon became elite. He won the MVP. He played in 2 AFC championship games. Played in the Super Bowl. Pro Bowler multiple times. And I think that comparison is the ceiling of Gardner Minshew. Right? Gardner Minshew is not going to be Patrick Mahomes. Stop. Could he be Rich Gannon? Yeah, the caller thinks so. If he puts it all together and he's 27 and he can lead the team, I would agree with that. Anything could happen with him. But again, I'm looking at the big picture. We got to do the draft here on the show. We got to fire people up for the draft. And you're not going to get me off my spot. I can promise you. You're not getting me off my spot about getting Jaden Daniels. It's probably less than a 10% chance the Raiders can get him, probably. But I'm going to use and I'm going to squeeze out all 10% of that because I like the fit with Antonio Pierce. I like the fit in Vegas. And I like a running, athletic, Heisman Trophy winning quarterback like Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson was the last pick in the first round. Jaden Daniels will probably be the 3rd or the 2nd. So I'm willing to risk that and be right on Jaden Daniels being great. Because no one said that about Patrick Mahomes. Find me the one person in the history of the NFL who sat there the week of the draft said, hey, man, by the way, this guy Patrick Mahomes, I think he's going to be the next Tom Brady, Joe Montana. Find me it. You can't find it anywhere. It's not on YouTube. But there are people saying that Jaden Daniels can be the next Patrick Mahomes. No one thought anything about Patrick Mahomes at the time. Baseball player, strong arm, dad was a professional athlete, but people weren't saying, oh my God, we got to trade up to number one and go get him. And that's what the hype is about the draft. There's a lot of hype here with the draft, and the Raiders are picking 13. I think that's a good spot. All right, the monologue also brought to you by the DeCastaVerde Law Group. The brothers have your back, Alex and Orlando DeCastaVerde. Hope to see them Friday because their office is right across the street from La Casa. They always send their staff in to have a couple of beverages and support the show. Alex DeCastaVerde, if you get into an accident, 702-222-9999. The brothers have your back, the DeCastaVerde Law Group. So we got a good caller to start us off. Let's get some more in here on what the Raiders do and what they do to wrap up free agency here. If they're going to get another signing, I don't think they will. I don't think they have to. Maybe they do. But the quarterback situation, Gardner Minshew, you heard him talk to me exclusively on Friday here on the radio. What was your reaction to him and that? And do you think he could lead the Raiders and have tremendous upside so we don't have to talk about quarterbacks again? Or are we going to be talking about Gardner Minshew not playing well and Aiden O'Connell coming off the bench, or Aiden O'Connell not playing well and Gardner Minshew coming off the bench? They're both capable quarterbacks if that's your fit. JT, kicking off Monday, March Madness. Who do you got winning the tournament? The brackets are out right now.
Man, I always have kind of two goals for myself everywhere I go, is to get better and have fun. So I look forward to getting here, working really hard, and to enjoy it, and to enjoy being around these people. Seems like there's such a great energy in this building. All the guys are super into it, and just look forward to being a part of it.
There's a certain way about the Raiders. Do you feel like that way is kind of your way?
I think so, man. I love, you know, one of the first things I saw coming in here is be you. You know, be yourself, and have the confidence to do that. I think it's huge, man. I think when you have that confidence, you can play a lot better and have a lot more fun.
That's Gardner Minshew. He won the press conference. I always use that term. Turn it up, Bobby. Let's get people excited here. I've been getting shut out in the first hour a lot lately. It feels like the show starts at 4 o'clock instead of noon. It's noon to 2. Let's go. Got a quarterback, and we decided not to go with the other quarterbacks. That's a strong quarterback topic. Why Gardner Minshew over Justin Fields? Why Gardner Minshew over Russell Wilson? Right? Why Gardner Minshew over Kirk Cousins? All the quarterbacks that are available. I'm fine without Kirk Cousins because he's just too expensive. I mean, the guy literally gets every dollar of every contract. They said it's $100 million guaranteed. The contract's $180. He'll get the $180. He's the Warren Buffett. The Bill Gates of the NFL. Whenever he signs a contract, he gets all the cash. He's incredible. And then everybody else was cheap. Look at the running backs. Look at the running back market now. Derrick Henry is a Baltimore Raven. They're a good team. They've been better than the Raiders for a long time now. A long time Baltimore has been better than the Raiders. And they got Derrick Henry. Pittsburgh in the AFC. If the Raiders want to win and win the Super Bowl, got to go through Baltimore. And most likely the likes of, you know, all these good, solid AFC teams that are a little bit ahead of the Raiders. Now, Denver's not ahead of the Raiders. The Chargers aren't ahead of the Raiders. The only team I see that we know are ahead of the Raiders is obviously Kansas City. Probably Baltimore, too, and they added Derrick Henry. And then Josh Jacobs left. Then Josh Jacobs went to Green Bay. I was on a Milwaukee talk show over the weekend. So a lot of times you don't hear me here. I'm on another radio show. I go on as a guest. And I was on in Milwaukee on one of their stations, and they asked me about Josh Jacobs. It was unbelievable. All I said was the guy's incredible as a leader, a teammate, and he's tough. And he went to the Green Bay Packers, who made the playoffs last year and beat the Dallas Cowboys in Dallas. And then the other overreaction everybody's freaking out is with the Cowboys not doing much. The Cowboys didn't do anything. because the Cowboys had to rework Dak's press conference, and they were his contract, excuse me, and they were able to do that. Just got a tweet and says, JT, walking and listening, no way we're going for Fields after we hired the Bears OC. Yes, I would agree with that. That's probably why we didn't get Justin Fields in here. We didn't get him because Luke Getsy came in, and they believe in Luke Getsy. Remember, everybody was freaking out. Cliff Kingsbury doesn't want the job. No, that wasn't the point. The Raiders had a specific requirement in the contract. They couldn't come to terms on it. So the Raiders brought in Luke Getsy. And I don't know about his family, his wife and kids or whatever, but I don't think they probably wanted to move from Chicago all the way to Southern Nevada and then have to coach Justin Fields again. That didn't make sense. So I never said Justin Fields was walking in the building, but I never thought Justin Fields would go for a sixth round pick. And once I said, you know, Russell Wilson's going for $1.2 million, that's it. I'd do that deal every day. I don't care who you are, the Raiders, the Giants, the Vikings, the Bears, whoever. Whoever you are, you do Russell Wilson at $1.2 million. So there are some deals out there, and I think we got a pretty good deal, we, the season ticket holders, with Gardner Minshew. He is a capable quarterback who will either be the starter or ready to come off the bench behind Aiden O'Connell. We'll be covering that once the preseason comes around. Here's Brian in Maine on the Raiders mobile app. I'm getting Raider calls from Maine. How cool is that? Go ahead, Brian.
JT, how you doing today, buddy? I think you guys nailed it. There had to have been some intel with Getsy to pass on Fields to the prior caller who compared Minshew to Gannon. I've got Gannon's stats in front of me over his career. And he didn't become Rich Gannon until age 34 when he first came to the Raiders. And my question to you is, you've been covering the Raiders for a long time. Do you remember the hype or lack of hype that Gannon got when he first signed with the Raiders? Was there a big expectation that he was going to be this Pro Bowl quarterback, or was he kind of just that journeyman label that was coming to the silver black to try to take his game to a new level?
That is a great question. Thanks for the phone call. I appreciate you. A couple things. Eric Allen and I are born less than 24 hours apart. We're the same age. Rich Gannon and I are the same exact age. I think we're a month apart. And I got to the Raiders before Rich Gannon. Rich Gannon turned out to be much more valuable to the team than me. But that tells you how long I've been with the team. I got there the year before Gannon got here. And when Gannon ended up coming here, there was no hype. I was on the radio. I was on the Ticket 1050. Had a national show already at that time. And no one was talking about Rich Gannon. But in the building, they were really excited about him. So I did a chalk talk with Rich a week ago. And, you know, we're on stage and I'm asking Rich about his career. And the coolest thing about Rich Gannon, when you hear him speak, is he sounds like a coach. Like, he has that coach vibe to him. And when he got to the Raiders, you're asking what the hype was. The hype started building with Rich Gannon when we found out in the media that he was holding his teammates accountable. So you can imagine, he got 4 years, $16 million. At that time, that was pretty good money. So he got a long-term contract. He comes to the Raiders. He's going to be the starter. Al Davis really liked him. Then John Gruden and him made magic together. They made magic together because he loved Gruden. So getting back to Rich and his legacy, coming out of camp and going into the regular season, Rich Gannon called the team meeting with the players and stood up in front of the players, and there were some wise guys in that room. There were some guys, if you want to have fun, Google that roster and go back to 99 and see it. And Gannon looked at the whole room and said, we don't prepare like we want to win. We are not going to win, because he came from Marty Schottenheimer in Kansas City. And Kansas City hated the Raiders so badly that he was taught Raiders week, Raiders week. We got to be perfect. And Gannon's part of those meetings in Kansas City. He comes to Oakland and guys are clowning around. Guys are showing up late for practice. Gannon told me he'd be out there 30 minutes before practice warming up. Practice would start at 2 o'clock and guys were walking on the field at 2:10. He had it. He had it. So he went to the team and said, you're not going to be here. How dare he say that? He's not the GM. He's not Al Davis. Rich Gannon got in the face of his teammates and said, this isn't going to work until you become accountable. And then Rich said at this chalk talk, at the end of the year, a lot of guys weren't back. Gruden got the message. Mr. Davis understood what Rich was saying. And then you start bringing in guys like Rod Woodson, Jerry Rice, total professionals And because of Rich Gannon being that leader, then the hype train started. Then we saw him lead the Raiders to the playoffs. We saw his moxie, his bravado, how great of a player he was. Well, he'd do anything to win. You ask Lincoln Kennedy, our good friend, about Rich Gannon, and ask Rich Gannon about Lincoln Kennedy. That offensive line protected Rich. Rich gave it back to them and said thank you every day. It was a team. It had great chemistry. So going back to Minshew, maybe Minshew can be that guy. Maybe Minshew could be that guy in the room because the culture is really good here now, everybody. The culture is really good. It's not the Patriot way. It's Antonio Pierce. Guys are loose. Guys are having fun. They're practicing hard. They're winning. Because remember, he's got the team to win down the stretch. So I think with Max Crosby and Gardner Minshew now and Devontae there and Robert Spillane, I think the guys are going to know when to party and have fun. Hey, remember, partying and having fun is what's supposed to happen around here. We're in Las Vegas. The Oakland Raiders of the 60s and the 70s of Biletnikoff and Stabler went out every night to bars, stayed out late, partied, and won football games. Okay? They had a lot of fun. And they showed up on time, and they played like hell on Sunday. I feel like Minshew fits into that mold. I think he's a guy, and I don't mean by partying, you go out till 1 in the morning, and you're drinking and driving, and you're going to strip bars and all that. I don't mean that. I mean, you go out with your buddies, you go watch sports, you have a good time. I think that Minshew is going to be one of those guys who does that. I hope to see Gardner Minshew out at, La Casa Cigars or at a bar or a restaurant and see him having dinner and having a good time with his friends and family. We need that around here in Vegas. This is why players want to come here. They want to come here to have fun and win. And Antonio Pierce is going to demand winning. The culture is really good. And there's no doubt that Gardner Minshew's culture fits in better than Russell Wilson. All I said about Russell Wilson is, I don't care what he does. When he shows up in the building, he works his ass off. He stays late. He's a quarterback. And he goes home to his wife. Goes home to his wife, and they go on Instagram, and they go on social media, and they take pictures of their kids and themselves. And people are awkward by that. I don't get it. So they got him in Pittsburgh, and they got Justin Fields in Pittsburgh. And I think the topic I've also been bringing up for the last couple of days is, why were they good enough to play in Pittsburgh, but not good enough to play in Oakland or Las Vegas? I don't know. I think it's an acquiring taste. Tom Telesco came over from the Chargers, knows Russell Wilson really good because of being in the division. They had no interest in him. Okay. No interest at $1.2 million? No, they don't have interest in him. And then when it came to Justin Fields, they already got Gardner Minshew. But if we can go back into the hot tub time machine, okay, we can go back 2 months ago. We knew that Justin Fields was going to be traded 2, 3, 4 months ago. We all knew. Everybody was talking first-round pick. Oh, everybody was talking about a second-round pick. No one mentioned a third, a fourth, or a fifth, and they got him for a sixth. That's a steal, in my opinion. And if it doesn't work out, you just don't sign him. You let him go, and you start all over again. 702-365-9200, Wednesday, live from the Strat, right in this time zone from noon to 2 as we kick off March Madness. When we come back, more of your calls on the quarterback situation. We've had a couple already on Justin Fields not being the fit. Let's keep that going. And then also, my conversation with a really cool head coach that I want you to hear coming up next, which I'm fired up about. Last night I did my show on Mad Dog Sports Radio. Yesterday we spoke to the head coach of NC State, and he had one hell of a story that's coming up.
Here's Jordan Snell. He's going to dribble out the clock. There's the horn, and the Pack's done it. NC State is the 2024 ACC Men's Basketball Champion. 84-76 the final here in Washington, D.C. The confetti starts to come down from the upper reaches of Capital One Arena. And the Pack is going to the NCAA tournament for the second year in a row. And they've done it the old-fashioned way.
Wolfpack Radio, JT, back with you. You know, throughout my career, covering March Madness, the Final Four, this is a big time for me. I love this time of year. And, the NBA's struggling. A lot of fans are backing off the NBA. They're not backing off college basketball because of the alma maters, the alumni. So this NC State story is incredible. because they had to win the tournament to get in, and you can't believe who they beat. So yesterday, I had Kevin Keats, who's the head coach, who joined me on Mad Dog Sports Radio, and I asked him about halftime. They were trailing to North Carolina and what he did to get back in the game.
Well, you know, JT, what we talked about is, you know, both teams were scoring at will. I think both teams were shooting over 50%. And what we talked about is, hey, in order to win this game and to win a championship, you got 20 minutes and you really have to establish yourself on a defensive end, because whichever team can really get out and defend and do a great job in that area is a team that's going to win. And I thought we did a really great job, especially, you know, Carolina does a great job in transition, and we got back and we made everything tough and made them score against our half-court defense.
This is incredible. Kevin Keats kind enough to join us from NC State. Coach, first title since 87. The five wins in 5 days, Louisville, Syracuse, Duke, Virginia, and North Carolina, these are household names. I mean, you know, this isn't the Syracuse team of Carmelo or Boeheim back in the day, but these teams that you beat are legendary household names. And how did your kids keep the composure there after knocking down win after win, seeing the big picture? You went 9-11 in the ACC. You had to win this tournament to get in.
You know, it's so weird. And you think about obviously I have to give the players in that locker room all the credit. I mean, five teams that have all won a national championship in the 2000s, and most of mm-hmm. them were recently, four of them. You know, we took it one game at a time. And when I say that, you know, we never looked at, you know, who's the next opponent. What we wanted to do is, I think, and I may be wrong on this, I think against those guys during the regular season, we were probably 2-6 overall. Mm-hmm. But in every game, we were there to win it. And we had so many kind of breakdowns that I thought that, you know, could have, you know, that cost us the game. And so we went into the tournament and said, every team that we played, here's what they did. Here's the what we didn't do well. Let's clean up some of our mistakes. And if we can clear up our mistakes, we have a chance to win it. And I got to give those guys credit and my assistant coaches credit. They did a great job with, you know, providing great scout reports, and our kids followed it to the T.
Kevin Keats is our guest, head coach of NC State, as we wrap it up. Coach, what I love about this time of year, I've been doing this over 25 years. DJ Horn had 29, DJ Burns Jr. 20. I want to talk about those two players that our audience might not know about. If you can tell us about those two players, how you recruited them, and how they stepped up at such a big time to win the tournament.
Well, we'll start with DJ Burns. DJ Burns, you know, we ended up getting him as a grad transfer. He played 3 years at Winthrop, which is, you know, obviously in the Big South, and was Big South Player of the Year. Out of high school, he started his career. He first went to Tennessee and played with Rick Barnes, but he went a year early and probably not mature enough to be in college at that time. So he ended up transferring back home, and he had a great career there. And, you know, once he hit the portal, you know, we needed an inside presence. You know, when I saw him, you know, he kind of reminded me of, you know, guys like Zach Randolph, who, you know, could really score the basketball, who's really good around the rim. Very seldom do you see a guy in today's time that is excited about scoring with his back to the basket. He's got great touch. He's got great feel. He can really pass the basketball. And this is his second year with us. And, you know, in 2 years, you know, we're going back-to-back NCAAs, and he's been a huge part of that. And then DJ Horn, he's an unbelievable story. As you guys know, I lost two great scorers last year, and Taquavion Smith and Jaquel Joyner. And I wanted to go out and try to replace one. I know I couldn't replace two. And so I went into the portal, and there's a hometown kid who is really good. Didn't play high major out of high school. Ended up going to Illinois State. Had a really good few years there, and then, you know, last year he played at Arizona State, and he was also a graduate, and we talked about, hey, come back home, here's a great opportunity. You know, our guards have a lot of freedom. We're just coming off an NCAA tournament. We can go back to that tournament with you. And it's kind of, it just worked out. You know, he was excited about having the opportunity to come back and play in the ACC. No one in the ACC recruited him out of high school, and he's taking advantage of he's one of those guys who's got a chip on his shoulder, because obviously he's been underrated all his life.
Coach, last one. You have an historic school that really steps up when the tournament comes around. And I'm just wondering what you expect now from your fan base here, because of the great Jim Valvano moment, one of the greatest moments in NCAA tournament history. You have a vibrant fan base now. How excited is your campus?
Well, the campus is on fire. Very excited. I mean, you think about this. It's been a long time since, and I've heard it from the day that I got here, since football, baseball, and men's basketball has won any type of championship. And, you know, obviously, you know, our fans will let us know. 37 years. I want you to think about that. And it's been a long time. And we're just, as a program, we're excited that we could obviously, you know, get their ball rolling and get us another championship, an ACC championship. And that means a lot to our players. We talked about, hey, they will forever remember you because of the long drought and, you know, obviously winning a championship together. Our next step is we're blessed. We're looking forward to that opportunity. We're hoping that it's, you know, Thursday, late Thursday or Friday, because we just played five straight games and certainly we could use the rest. But I think our guys are excited about it. You know, that locker room was a bunch of excitement and just the warmth and the fellowship and obviously the camaraderie among teammates. I thought it was really special.
Coach, get some rest. I really appreciate the fact that we got you after lack of sleep and what you did here. I was thrilled to see you on our rundown today joining us. Good luck. Keep winning, and thanks for giving us a few minutes today. Appreciate you.
No problem, guys. Thanks for having me on.
All right, that's Kevin Keats. I wanted to share that with you because I'm going to mix in the NCAA tournament because it's the biggest thing happening in sports. The five teams that they beat, including North Carolina, Virginia, Duke, Louisville, Syracuse, the teams that they beat to just win the conference tournament, remarkable. They've already had their NCAA tournament. This is one of the biggest stories, that who they beat in their conference tournament to get to the NCAA tournament looked like they were playing a whole bunch of one seeds or two seeds, and they got it done. Congratulations to Kevin Keats, head coach of North Carolina State, where Jim Valvano won a championship, so they're always excited about getting into the tournament here. A shame UNLV basketball did not get in, or Lady Rebels did get in. Congratulations to the women's program. When we come back, Matt Verderam, NFL insider, will join us on free agency. Ask him what the Raiders did, what they did at quarterback, what he respects about what the Raiders did this offseason, and Bill Krakenberger next hour, America's favorite sports gambler.